Ephesians chapter 6. I want to talk to you about the strategies of the devil just a little bit. You know, we hate to have to do whole sermons on the devil. But then again, when you realize how valuable it is, you don't hate it. You know, most of what we do is we're going to present the goodness of God and all that. But the truth is, you're going to have to know some things about the devil too. Amen. You can't stick your head in the sand and hope the devil goes away or hope there's not a devil.
Right.
Some people refuse to talk about the devil because they don't really know him or what he does. But Paul said this in the Bible. He said, we're not ignorant of the devil's devices.
That's right.
He was talking about how to be careful about forgiving people and such. And he said, you know, we're not because we're not ignorant of the devil's devices, we're going to go ahead and forgive our brother. Because he'll get you trapped. He'll snare you. He's the fowler that'll snare you. And so you and I have to make sure we're not ignorant of his devices. How does the devil mess with Christians? Okay, if you're saved, you're at least out of the darkness of the world. But he will mess with believers in God. He will mess with the people of God. We think, well, how come God didn't just keep the devil off of me? Because he just can't. The devil has a free freedom in this earth that nobody's exempt from until you catch him, until you stiff arm him, until you point your finger in his nose and tell him to get out in the name of Jesus. Nobody's exempted. Okay? He messed with Eve, and Eve was a child of God. He messed with Jesus. Jesus was a child of God. He messed with Peter. Peter was a child of God. He messed with everybody.
Yeah.
No matter how special you are, how good you are, how good you're not, he messes with everybody, and you need to know how he messes with you.
Yeah.
Have you figured out how he messes with you?
Yeah.
And we're not just talking about at midnight when you want to go eat, and you're thinking, oh, the devil's trying to make me go eat the last piece of pizza. We're talking about, first of all, your thought life. We're talking about what he does, the conversation he wants you to have, the lies that he throws at you. You know, he is the father of lies. The devil is a liar, and he's the father of lies. Like, lying is birthed from him. His baby is a lie. That ought to make you fight mad, that you will not let him lie to you. And so let's just talk about it a bit here. Ephesians chapter 6. This is the armor of God. Verse 13. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. With which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Stop there for just a second. When we talk about faith, it means different things to different people at different times in their life. When you first in, you're thinking your faith is just your Christian faith. It's different than the Jewish faith. But then you start learning some things about faith, and it's bigger than that. It's more specific than that. It's far further reaching than just my general faith. It's faith for everything. Faith to live, faith to obey God. What can you do with your faith? What can you do with your faith? Well, faith receives promises, doesn't it? Faith can get prayers answered. Faith can walk with God. Faith can follow the Spirit. Faith can obey God. With your faith, you can obey God. If you really believe, you can obey. And if you don't believe, you're not going to obey. So faith, it allows you to live a spiritual life, period. But there's one thing that you can do with your faith that we need to talk about. We started it Wednesday night. It's called the shield of faith. The shield of faith. So another thing you can do with your faith is protect yourself. Your faith is needed to protect yourself. From what? From the fiery darts of the wicked one. To quench. The shield of faith will help you quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. What is that? What are the fiery darts of the wicked one? Go ahead, just pop it out. Lies. What else? Temptations. What else? Suggestions. What else?
Fears.
The fiery darts of the wicked one. What else? Hate. What else? Unforgiveness. Doubt. Sickness. Symptoms. The fiery darts of the wicked. You must use your shield of faith to quench them.
Yes.
Yep. His first primary attack or fiery dart would be shot at your brain. If he can get you to think wrong, he can get you to talk wrong, and then he can get wrong things to your life. Or if he can get you to think wrong, he gets you believing wrong, he squeezes out all your faith, and then he gets you the bad thing coming. The main thing that he sends towards your brain is thoughts, suggestions, theories, and reasonings. And people just, you know how people are, they love to reason. We love to sit there and figure it all out in our brain. And a lot of times we figure it out on the emotional side, the sensual side, the natural side, and we come up with all sorts of wisdom that doesn't necessarily fit God's Word. And when you do that, it's the devil that made you do it.
Amen.
It's the devil that enticed you to think how smart you are. Now, if you'd have known it was the devil, you'd have said, shut up. But it felt so good to your ego to continue thinking how right you are and how wrong they were that he got you. With your shield of faith, you can quench those lies.
Right.
Is everybody interested in some of the lies the devil might say?
Yes.
Never, ever will the Word of God be wrong.
Right.
So no matter what the devil says, if your thought... See, here's the deal. You think it was your thought. The devil helps you use the personal pronoun I. So that you think it's your thought. So if you're ever thinking, I know the Word says that, but if that's ever your train of thought, it's the devil and your ego. They go together. The devil and your pride go together really well. I mean, like, he loves pride. He just hangs out with prideful. He just loves it. He can push your buttons. So the first plan of attack from the devil is to try to get you to worship God. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Is to worship him. The first plan of the devil... He is not your friend. He is not your partner. The first plan of the devil is to try to get you to worship him. Okay, now, I don't think we have any devil worshipers in here, right? But now, hold on a second. I want you to see something. Luke chapter 4, this is when Jesus was filled with the Spirit, went to the wilderness, and then he was tempted. Verse 3, Luke 4, 3, and the devil said to him, "If you're the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus pulled out his shield of faith.
Amen.
Because he knew what to believe. He knew what was right. And so he said what was right. So the first thing he did, Jesus answered him. When the devil talks, you have to answer him.
Right.
When he lies, you have to answer him.
Amen.
You don't stay silent. You don't just hide. You don't just run away. When the devil says something that could possibly contend with truth, you have to address it.
Yes.
That's right. Amen.
You don't just let it slide. You don't just let it just linger.
That's right.
The first thing Jesus did was answer him, saying out loud. You have to say something out loud. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So the devil was trying to get him to use his power inadvertently. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I'll give you in their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I'll give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." So the devil wanted to get Jesus, who is the leader of us all, to worship him. He's going to try to get you to worship him. In some way, he's going to get you to worship him. If he can't get you to worship him, he'll get you to worship something he created. Some worldly thing that he's in charge of. And Jesus answered again and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Notice here the pattern that Jesus used. As soon as he catches the devil in a thought, he answers him. This is where most Christians fail. They have a thought. They have a symptom. They have a circumstance. They have a deception. They have a twisted reasoning. They have an offense. And they don't say anything. Why? Because they were ignorant of the devil's devices. Listen, I need you to listen. I'm warning you so that you don't fall prey to the devil. He has destroyed many good Christians who couldn't catch him at his first thought. If he can get you to ignore the first and second thought, he'll get seed planted in your heart. He'll get you out of sorts in some way about your life or other people, your marriage, your children, your parents. He'll get you off course if you don't catch the first thought.
That's correct.
That's good.
You must have a belief system. You must know the Bible. You must have scriptures put together as your net, as your shield, so that you can quench the fiery darts. There's no reason that a fiery dart has to make it all the way to you. No way. You should know. And if you know, you have to say. You have to answer. This is 101. This is Thought Life 101. This is Battle of the Brain 101. This is not letting your mind think what it wants to think. That all thoughts must filter through the Word of God. That you must take every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This is Thought Life 101. And if you don't score well in this, you will have a rough Christianity. You will have a devil-obsessed, oppressed life. If he knows that he can just say anything to you and you not stop it, he'll just keep it up. That's how people get depressed and on medication sitting at home. They did not know how to control their thought life. They were not versed in the strategies of the devil. He got them worried. He got them hopeless. He got them disappointed. He threw symptoms. He threw circumstances. He threw temptations. He threw all sorts of other people that were twisted into their life to confuse them, upset them, ruin them. You got to know the strategies of the devil. He wants to meddle in your mind. Do not let him. We know enough truth to be able to say, whoa, that seems a little strange to me. I don't think I'll be thinking that. You got to stop the thoughts. How do you stop them? You got to answer them out loud, at least with a whisper.
Amen.
No, the Bible says I will only serve God. No, the Bible says I will not serve the flesh. No, I will walk in.
Yes.
So first thing, he's going to try to get you to worship him. Of course, there's no devil worshipers in here. But if he can't get you to worship him, he's going to try to interfere with your worship. He's going to try to stop you somehow from worshiping God fully. He wants to shut down our daily submission to the Lord. And hinder us from all things that involve serving God. Worship and prayer and Bible reading and, you know, fellowship and all, any kind of gospel activity, he's going to try to shut it down.
Right.
So every time you hear the thought, well, you don't have time to go to the outreach. Let those zealous people who must not have full-time jobs go to the outreach. If you're watching via live stream, I hear a few giggles in the sanctuary. Turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Here's some lies the enemy whispers during church. Did you know the devil will even lie to you in church? People think, well, the devil doesn't come to church. He goes to church every week. Now, we don't have a seat for him in here, so it's your responsibility to not let him in. So as soon as you get done with your argument in the car, make sure you... I'm sorry. As soon as you get out of the car, make sure you leave the devil in there. He'll be there when you get back. I'm just kidding. That's not a great way to think, but... He does. He sits on people's shoulders if they let him. You know, the little cartoon when you got the little demon on one side, the angel on the other? It's not too far off, actually. Now, it's not a little pipsqueak demon and a little pipsqueak angel. That's not angel. That's not the way it really works. But the idea is still there, that the devil does whisper in people's ears. The devil does sit with people in church and hang out with you in church until you stop him. To be honest, and I need you to hear me, to be honest, I learned real quickly, and I'm not exactly sure I can put it all together as why, but I have never really had the devil messing with me in church much. I can pick a couple times, but he didn't mess with me in church because of some things. You need to get real quickly, you need to get yourself on top of this. Real quickly, you need to fully submit to the love of God,
amen,
to Jesus Christ Himself, and to the Word of God, and all things related to church.
Right.
Glory.
You need to submit really quickly and fall in love with all things God has designed related to church, whether church is functioning perfectly or not. Be so committed to it that you have mercy on every wrong thing that's ever been done.
Amen.
Really, you're going to have to mature really quickly and get on top of this. To have mercy on all disorder that's ever happened in any church, especially yours. And be so highly committed to what Jesus expects and wants and needs that you can love people through their troubles. You can be the one that's towing the rope in a service. You can be the one that's holding anchor in the local church. That even if everybody's out of sorts, I'm not going to be. It's okay. In my very first church that I was in, I helped make sure people didn't get thrown off by the devil. I mean, I had people, I remember in church one time, this lady said, I just wish the pastor wouldn't do that. Don't say that. I said, don't say that. And then I got far away from her. That's scary business. That's wrong to do that. And I was a baby Christian. I knew that. So I've never been one to sit in church grudging against stuff that wasn't happening right. You shouldn't either.
Amen.
But here's some lies the devil might whisper in other people's ears. Number one, this isn't working. You're wasting your time here. You know, just trying to get you to dismiss spiritual effort or religious things or all things related to God's kingdom. This isn't working. Look at your life. So that's a big lie. Here's one. Luke chapter 10, verse 40. Verse 38. Now it happened as they went, he entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. What happened here? Martha's thinking, you know, what Mary's doing is not worth anything. Jesus quickly rebuked her. When the devil tells you that what you're doing nothing is not worth the time, is not helping you, what good is it? You need to hush him up.
Yes.
Say, right. No, I'm choosing the good part.
That's right.
I mean, come on. You know, every Sunday, every Wednesday, all the times we have church, the devil could be telling you, what you're wasting your time. You could spend this at home. He doesn't ever tell you what you could be doing at home, because usually it's nothing. Or he'll get you, you know, you could be going having fun. Okay, here's another one in the church. The devil might be saying stuff like, nothing that they're doing is very inspiring. The praise and worship band, blah, 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 blah. The poor praise and worship band. You know, if they're too loud and too good and too excited, they're just performing. Look at them, they're just performing. And if they're not doing much, then it's like, well, look at them. They're just kind of not inspiring at all. They just know there's a no-win situation for the praise team. I mean, we don't deal with that here. Everybody can pretty much see the value and feel the merit. And I don't think we've ever had a bad praise and worship time. Honestly, you know, and the way that I judge it is not by listening to notes and make sure all the people sang the right words. If I watch the people trying to sing the right words, half the time they sing the wrong words. So what? Doesn't bother me a bit. All I know is that when the music and the singing is going on, I'm in the Spirit. I'm connected to the Lord. I'm seeing and hearing and loving and worshiping and honoring. That's all I care about. And it just so happens that our music time is pretty fantastic too. And if you don't think so, you better go to a few other churches. What are you saying, Pastor? Because I've been to some of these mega churches and they got, yeah, we're at the same level as the mega churches.
I agree. Amen.
It's wonderful. Here's another lie. You don't, he'll sit there and help you. He may say you, but usually he turns it to I and helps you think it as if it was your original thought. Well, I don't feel the song that we're singing, and so it's pointless. Like, I'm not feeling this song. We don't walk by feeling anyway. You don't need to feel anything. Matter of fact, if you're mature in the Lord, you'll recognize you hardly ever get to feel anything. You just live by faith. You worship by faith. You sing by faith. You play your instrument by faith. You close your eyes by faith. You lift your hands by faith. You just worship God with your heart by faith. It isn't about you getting a tingle or a feeling or I love this song. You know, what will happen is a new song will get played and people will feel, oh, man. After 5 years of singing this song, it's like, got any others? Got any others? I ain't feeling it no more. You're the problem. It's not the song. You're the problem. The devil might sit there and tell you, you don't understand the scripture. And you'll think, well, I just don't understand. I just can't get it. I don't know why I'm so dense. I just don't get anything. Well, first of all, you are getting a lot. First of all, you do understand a lot. You may not understand every scripture. You don't have to understand every scripture. Okay? First of all, don't try to understand with your brain. Right. Don't sit there trying to understand with your mind. I mean, these things are lofty. These things are high and lofty. I mean, it's not always easy to catch it with your mind. Think with your heart. Catch it with your spirit. Most good truth that's going to change your life, you need to catch it anyway. Don't try to mentally ascend to it. Well, I just don't understand how we can be new creatures in Christ Jesus, and here I am. I still feel the same way. Don't try to figure it out with your mind. Trust the Lord. Catch it with your heart and say, you know what? I think I'll be a little different today.
Hallelujah.
I think I'll be a little bit new today.
Hallelujah.
Here's another lie, that you're not living up to what the pastor's preaching. You're such a hypocrite. Well, the first part is true. You're not living up what the pastor's preaching. You're not living up to this Bible preaching. We're trying. Maybe the preacher is having a hard time living up to some of the truth that's being preached. I mean, nobody's perfect, right? We're attempting to be, we want to be, we're trying to be, we care to be. But we might not all be living up to what's been preached. So that part's true. But to be a hypocrite, I'd have to claim that I was. And I'm not. So the devil gave a half-truth that turned out to be a whole lie. And he does that. He'll give half-truths. He'll give no truths. He'll give blatant lies. He'll give soft little peddling question marks. You got to know. You got to know. The devil, as many times, he's half right and totally wrong. What you have to decide is, even though you may not be living up to everything, but you just sit there and you hear something that you may not be doing, you don't listen to the hypocrite, you hypocrite, look at you. No, you sit there and you say, but I will obey God. I will obey God. I will overcome. I will beat the devil. I will obey God. I am right now hiding the word in my heart that I might not sin against God. This is how you change your life. This is how you allow the Spirit to change you. This is how you start walking out the Word of God as you sit there and you say Bible things. You answer the lies with Bible things. You answer the doubts with Bible things. Oh, no, no, no. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's going to fix my soul and separate it from my spirit. And you get real serious about it and you get all spiritual about it and you sound like a religious nut. But you better sit there whispering. And in church, you need to whisper some things to yourself. And if you can't whisper it, you jot it down. So when your neighbor is in church, you know, whispering to themselves, you know that they're beating the devil. He's a liar, man. He'll get people off. Here's another thought. I can't relate to that preacher. And you think you could relate to the Apostle Paul? You think you could relate to Jesus while he was preaching? Well, he's too old. She's too whatever I'm not. They're too, or older people. Well, he's too young. You know, when I started pastoring, I was 32 years old. You don't sit there contemplating in your brain all of these dumb things. You catch the devil and you say, shut up. I'm in the will of God. I know my spirit. I'm living by faith. I'm not living by this figuring all this stuff out and making sure that I've followed the top 10 things for successful thing that they did at the seminar. Or at my company motivational speaker thing. It's not necessary for a service to be exciting or new or fast or loud in order for it to please the Father. The songs don't have to wow anybody. Of course, we all have our favorite songs. And if it's not your favorite song, then what are you going to do? You're going to sit there by faith and worship God, hush your mouth. Even I have to do that. There's some songs that I wouldn't choose. Slowly but surely, I tried to influence the praise team. But, hey, I've lost some of those battles before. There's a couple I won. There's a couple I won, but I've lost some of those battles. And what do I do about it? I sit there and just worship God. Amen. And pray that everybody's still okay after the song is sung. The other option that we found is we just change some of the words. We change the words every two or three songs. We'll change some words because they're just so weak or unscriptural. Right. So we'll just change the words for you. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's right.
I'd rather a pastor write the words to the songs anyway.
That's true.
I'd rather a minister write the words to the songs. That'd be a lot nicer. That's why some of these old-time hymns made it so long. It's because spiritual people wrote them. When you non-Bible people writing songs, you never know what you're going to come out with. I think they ought to get a spiritual person and then a musical spiritual person and tag team so you get holy, you get really spiritual words and you get good music. So the songs don't have to be brand new or wow anybody, and the message can be as old as John Wesley or as old as the Apostle. You don't need a new message to be touched. Are you touched this morning so far?
Yes.
Some of you are wondering, I don't know. But listen, the preachers have to be warned not to fall into this coming up with something new. Listen, it could be as old as John Wesley, Charles Finney, or the Apostle Paul himself.
Yes.
Would anybody say, Apostle, you know, your messages don't really relate to me anymore? You know, I don't think so. If the Apostle Paul's messages don't relate to you, you're hiding. You're not serving the Lord. You're not serious about Jesus. Because if you get serious with Jesus, you'll love. It'll just ring your bell all the time. We go all the way back to Jesus. Can we preach Jesus' messages? Are they okay for today? So you don't need new stuff all the time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A long time ago, I learned how to shut the devil up in church. You know, first of all, about loving people, I've just never sat there and grudged and got mad at people. If anybody's ever done anything wrong, I've always sat there thinking, oh, I'm so sorry. Father, have mercy on them. You know, I'm just sorry that they did that, and I love them, and I just care about them. And I like to look around sometimes in worship. Okay, I like to look around at people because it reminds me of my love for people. Reminds me of God's love for people. And I just love seeing people worshiping God. I love seeing people's face. I love seeing people sing. I love seeing people, whatever they're doing. I like to see people just going like this. I just like it. I like seeing people. And so you need to do that. You need to not ever sit there and get more mad at whatever you were mad at. You know, you can't do that. So you're going to have to make sure you shut the devil up about people and shut the devil up about money. Listen, I know the devil starts talking almost every time we take an offering here. How do I know? Because there's things in the spirit that we can detect. I can detect some of these things. The devil will talk to people during the offering time. And he will get you to be thinking, hurry up. Just hurry up. Why do you got to do that? Why do you have to talk about money every time? Why do you have to do this? What is it? Why is it always about money? Why is it always about money? That's from the devil. Now, granted, there's some places that it just seems overdone. I get that. But, you know, you have to be very careful what you, even if you were in a place like that, you have to use your faith to not be thinking those devil thoughts. I remember one time I was in a meeting and I'd been in these extended meetings and the bucket was passing. And my thought was, I mean, I'd been coming to these meetings for weeks and the bucket was being passed and it was coming to me. And I was thinking in my mind, well, I've given enough lately. I give every time I come. I've given enough. And instantly, I thought, that's not from God. He don't mind if you keep on giving. That's not from God. That was from the devil. And I thought, I just caught you, devil, and I'm going to pay you back right now. And I said, I'm giving everything I've got in my pocket right now. This was back when cash system was pretty prevalent. And men didn't carry checkbooks. See, the devil just said, see, he was talking about money, and then God's trying to shut him. No, I'm just kidding. Whatever the emergency is, help him, Lord. And I said to myself, I said, that's it. I'm giving everything I got in my pocket, whatever it is. And, you know, I'm kind of headed that direction thinking, I hope it ain't too much. But I got my pocket or my wallet or whatever, and I had four $20 bills. That's all I had. And I said, that's it. And I threw it in the bucket, all my cash. This is in my early ministry days. And I felt so good, I thought, I just whipped your tail, devil. You know, you get that little cocky squint. Just whipped his tail. Well, at the end of that church service, I'm heading out, and this brother comes up to me, an acquaintance of mine. I didn't know his last name, you know. And he comes up and shakes my hand. There's something in his hand. You know, I've told you the story before, and there was something in it. Isn't that how you feel when somebody put, wow, that was sure a lovely thing. I feel so loved before you even look. So I put it in my jacket pocket, and then I kind of secretly raced out to my truck. Like, I'm gone, because I wanted to see what it was. And it was $1,000 check. So me breaking the devil's back, I knew I'd broken his back. I knew I beat him.
Yes, you
in
did.
The chair.
Yes, you did.
And that was just a little bit of proof. Don't let the devil talk to you during offering time.
That's
Don't let the devil talk to you during offering time. I've told you the other story about the money side of things. I was going to get my car washed one time for a guest preacher was coming. And get my car washed so that when I pick him up, it looks decent, you know. And so I went and got my car washed, and I'm driving out. That, you know, they wipe your car down for you and all that. And, you know, usually you tip something or whatever. And but this time I think I just took off. You know, I was in a hurry or whatever. So I just drove off, and I started thinking, I wonder if I should have tipped. And I started thinking, shit, I didn't have to tip. You know, I don't know. And I'm driving about a half a block away, and the Lord said something to me. He said, "You've gotten a little stingy in your giving." No. Now, he wasn't talking about church, because I've never held back offerings and tithes and stuff like that. But just in being liberal in general. And I thought, you know, you're right, Lord. And I turned around and I drove back and I found the lady that wiped my car off. And I was getting my wallet out and I was going to give her $20. I was going to give her $20 tip. I didn't have a $20 bill. I only had $100. And I gave her the $100. And she didn't look. She did like this. And I'm thinking, no, I want to see your face. I want to see my face. But I gave her the $100 and drove off and felt so wonderful. I felt it. I could feel it again that, you know what, I just got free again. Somehow got a little stuck in the giving. And I got a little free again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That weekend at church, we had two or three meetings with a certain guest preacher. And at the end of the meetings, he calls Joni and I over, and he and his wife wrote us a personal check. A personal check. This is the first time a traveling preacher ever gave any money to the pastor. It was so impactful that I, as a traveling preacher now, do that for pastors. I want to bless the pastors. It was such a phenomenal thing. I thought, what a novel idea. But he gave us like $3,500. Personal. He goes, now this is personal. Again, I'm not saying that you know, you're planning on the getting and all, because, you know, that I know the Bible says we will get. If we cast our bread on the waters, it will return. That He will supply, you know, good measure, pressed down, shaken. I know that that's true, but to keep your giving pure 99% of the time, you don't want to think about that. Well, I know that if I want any money, I got to give some. Well, that's weird. You need to be cheerful about your giving. And just let God take care of the other side of things. But the whole idea is that the devil will ruin your life by getting you into wrong trains of thought or no trains of thought. We got to beat the devil. Amen. We got to use our shield of faith.
Yes.
We got to not be ignorant of the devil's devices.
Yeah.
Some people might be sitting in church. Oh, I got a whole lot left. Have we even read any scripture today? Not like normal, have we? Okay, we'll do one quickie here. Go to Mark. No, go to Luke chapter 7. We're going to skip Mark. Sorry about that. We'll give Mark to the second service. Now you feel like you got robbed. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. She began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who's touching him, for she's a sinner." Well, the devil was helping that Pharisee think that. The devil has no respect for worship. He's not going to let you have any respect for worship. He's going to sit there and tell you that you're not perfect enough to be worshiped. Going to look at you. Look at you with your hands raised. In church. Look at you. trying to act all like you're perfect and you know what you did and who you are and what's happened, and here you are faking it. He's going to lie to people to get them to stop what they're supposed to do. No worshiper of God is perfect. She's a sinner. But the thoughts come out. She's a sinner. She shouldn't be that close to God or to Jesus in this case. You better shut the devil up. As soon as he says something garbage like that, say, that's exactly why I worship God. I need him. I want him. I don't care if half the time my flesh is fighting me about it. I want God. Your spirit is the one that worships God. If you're having this conflict all the time about lifestyle versus, you know, worship, then you need to put some effort into it and do your best. But at the same time, you can't stop worshiping. It's the only hope you got. You can't stop a daily life of honoring God. You can't stop a daily life of thinking about the Lord. You can't stop a daily life of praying in tongues, singing songs, lifting your hands. That's your only hope. That's how you get empowered. The devil is just a twisted little fella. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Just a couple other thoughts and you can figure out the truth behind them. He'll make somebody feel like, what's the difference that my little offering will make? What's the difference my little offering will make? Well, apparently to the widow that gave only two mites, it was a big deal to the Lord. And he said she gave more than anybody. So you're going to have to be spiritual about it. Your giving of money in church, to the kingdom, to God, in the name of the Lord, or really giving to the Lord, is between you and him. It has nothing to do with comparison to other people or judging other people's pocketbooks. What's a pocketbook? I don't even know anymore. Your giving to the Lord is personal between you and him. So you got a problem, it's between you and God. He's looking to you. You need to honor him. He's looking. He's watching. He wants to see, can you handle money at all? Do you honor me at all with your money? So that's between you and the Lord, not about comparisons. Hallelujah. The final thought I'll give you from the devil is that you're just going through the motions. And most of the people around you are too. And what's your response to that? Say, you got that right, devil. Faith is all about action. I'm going through the motions. Faith acts. I believe, therefore I do. Don't care how I feel. Don't care what circumstances haven't changed. Don't care what it seems to be maybe on the outside. Haven't seen the final product. But I tell you what, I'm doing it by faith. You're going to have to know how to do this. When it comes to home, parents have the thought, you know, I'm failing as a parent. I'm failing as a parent. Almost all parents have that thought. I guarantee almost all parents have that thought. But you're not a failure. Amen. You need to turn it back and say, I'm not a failure. You need to know why you're not a failure. If you're seeking God and being at least a little bit of an example of Jesus, you're not failing. Amen. The end product does not mean you're a failure.
That's right.
Listen, the end product of your child when they become an adult is not the determining factor of whether you failed or not. Or succeeded or not. If that were the case, God ain't doing such a good job on you. Look at him. He looks at the outcome of humanity has nothing to do with how good he is. It has a lot to do with the end person's will. You do your best. That's all he's asking. Kids, you have to be careful. Teenagers have to be careful about thoughts from the devil about their parents. Well, my parents just don't understand me. They just don't understand me. No, that's not the problem. The problem is you don't understand you. The devil has made you think your parents are the problem in your life. They are not the problem in your life ever. I mean, if your parents are serving God and at least attempting to learn the Word and apply the Word in their life, your parent is not the problem. Now, if you're a child or a teenager and you're the saved one in the family, then you just need to know that you're honoring God when you honor your parents. But kids, you need to recognize that what the problem is you don't understand enough about life and God and you. So don't let the devil poke your parents and get you off and rebellious against your parents. Absolutely not. That's the devil. And we could go, every wrong thing in life is a lie from the devil. We could go all the way to symptoms of sickness and disease. It's a liar, 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 liar. You can even say pants on fire, but I don't like to say pants on fire. Liar, 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 liar. He's a father of lies, and I'm not buying his lies. I'm going to live the truth. Is everybody going to live the truth with me?
Yes.
Stand up, please. Lift your hands to him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Remind us, Holy Spirit. Help us catch the devil every single time. Every single time. Everybody, let's practice this. Let's practice this. Okay, pretend the devil has just lied to you. Pretend the devil has just lied to you. And say this out loud. Say, shut up.
Shut up.
Okay, if you didn't say that because you're so nice, everybody say this. Say, hush.
Hush.
You need to know how to do this. You need to get familiar with it. As soon as you catch the devil lying, you hush.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
When he says you're never going to be able to pay off your debts.
Shut up!
Shut up!
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.